Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all who are mothers here. To all, welcome to the service. Special welcome to all those who are visiting with us. Please join us for coffee after the service. As you leave the sanctuary, go to your left. Also, a special welcome to Reverend George Lubbers as he leads us in the service this morning. Let us bow our heads to prepare for worship.
To your children praying, Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying, send us love, send us. Send us grace.
Our call to worship this morning comes from 1 Chronicles 16, 23 through 31. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord has made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Our opening hymns are I Love You, Lord, and Heart of Worship.
Music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, though the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. But it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
As we come into worship together, it is at the heart of worship that our Lord draws us, like a mother would. He opens up his arms, draws us close to himself, holds us to his chest so that we can hear his heartbeat. And it is him that calls us this morning and offers us grace and peace from God the Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord, through the work of his Holy Spirit. Take a moment, greet your neighbors, and just share the peace of Christ with one another. Blessings.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven. You were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love. You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? amazing love, I know it's true. And it's my joy to honor you in all I do. You are my King. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor.
As I mentioned at the very beginning, that there's this heartbeat that Jesus has for us and draws us in so that we share that heartbeat together. Part of that heartbeat is to call us to confession. And what a beautiful song that we just sang that just draws us into that space, recognizing that He is our God, that He is our King. And He offers us this morning this word of His will for our lives as we move forward from here, as we move into a time of confession, and just to receive a word from Him. He says, from Galatians, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. So don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. The entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, to love your neighbor as yourself. And if you bite and devour each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. And so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. As we hear Paul encourage us in that way, let's just take a moment and bow our heads in a prayer of confession. Oh, compassionate God, full of grace, slow to anger, you call out to us. You extend your hand of care to all creation. And we hear your word and we confess that even as your children, we are slow to follow. We're reluctant in the ways of service to Christ. We prefer to remain distant with minimum investment. We fear our own weaknesses and focus on ourselves rather than calling the lost to life and bringing healing into a hurting world. But we cry out to you, God of compassion, to lead us. Lead us in paths of righteousness. Renew our hearts, renew our minds, renew our spirits. Grow in us your love for all creation, and remind us that as we reach out to the hungry, to the naked, to the prisoner, to the least of these, that we meet you there. Teach us servanthood, that is joy, a way of caring that is humble, and a spirit of giving that is full of grace. And may your most holy name be lifted up. Amen. And as we truly in our hearts lay down that prayer and lay our lives down before our Lord, we receive a word of assurance today that is found in Psalm 100, which says to us there, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture, entering His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. We give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations." And as He calls us and as He leads us today, know that He has redeemed you and He has forgiven our sins. Seek ye first.
Hello. Okay, there it is. Okay, Sam, stand up. Can everybody stand up, please? And I want you to tell me what you're most thankful for about your mom. So tell me what you like best about your own mom, okay? We'll start over here. Hi, can you tell me what you like best about your mom?
I am like making pictures.
Making pictures with your mom? Ooh, that's a good one.
And Dad's making an eye for me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Ezra?
I like having mama days with my mama.
Mommy days with your mama? That's great.
I like that my mom, she is great at cooking.
Your mom's great at cooking. That's awesome.
Lincoln?
What do you like about your mom?
What's that? You like your mom? That's good. I don't think you get a turn.
What do you like best?
That she loves and cares for me.
Doing devotions.
Doing devotions?
Baking.
Baking with her?
Baking with her.
Ooh, lots of good cooks out there.
Annika?
Making crafts with her.
Ooh, nice. What do you like best about your mom, Tucker?
Nothing.
Ooh, Nikki! You don't like anything about your mom? Oh, that's a little painful. What do you like best about your mom?
My mom is Selma's oldest.
Your mom is what?
My mom's several days older than, but I'm three. I'm three.
You're three. That's amazing.
I'm 3-2.
You're 3-2. That's wonderful. What do you like best about your mom? Are you too shy to say?
Yep, we are.
Oh, yep, we are.
Chase, what do you like best about your mom?
Making cookies.
Making cookies? That's much better answer than your brother. Okay. That's awesome. I'm glad to hear you guys all love your moms and your mom so much. So we're going to finish with singing He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. So we'll sing the first verse like normal. But the second verse, we're going to say He's Got Our Wonderful Mothers in His Hands. Okay? Okay, everybody stand up. We'll sing our song.
Celebrate and to honor our mothers on this day. The thing that I think about, though, when I think about Mother's Day, for me, is that my mother is no longer with us. And I know that that's one of those things that when we celebrate Mother's Day, I often get that kind of a comment, but what about those that have lost our moms and we can't go home to visit them and we can't tell them how much we love them anymore? And so we do remember those mothers as well. And also the pain for those that wish to be mothers and that can't be mothers. And we want to remember them on a day like this today too. God loves each and every one of them today. We transition from here and move into a time in which we get to spend some time in God's Word. As we prepare to do that, I again invite you just to take a moment with me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is a joy to come into worship together. The privileges of worshiping together is that together we can lift our voices in praise, that together we can share how you have blessed each and every one of us together in our daily walk. But also, Lord, that tremendous blessing that we have, that we get to, again, together, open up your word, that we may just take out a portion of that today and reflect on that, and in the midst of that, that we get to see you and hear your voice as you speak to us. And so, Lord, bless us in this time. May your name be praised. Amen. I've chosen this morning to share three different passages with you. I was at a retreat earlier this week, and it talked about the image of a overhead projector. You remember those overhead projectors that you had those clear plastic sheets and you laid them on there and the light would shine through them? Well, when we open up numerous passages, it gives us that kind of a picture. We're going to lay three different passages, one on top of the other, on that light, and just allow the light to shine through that as we reflect on them today. The first one is from Psalm 5, the verses 1 to 8. And there it says this, it says, "Listen to my words, Lord, consider my lament, hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you, and I wait expectantly. For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. The bloodthirsty and deceitful you, Lord, detest. But I, by your great love, can come into your house in reverence. I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make your way straight before me." The second passage that we have this morning comes from Isaiah 43, two verses. And there it says this. It says, "But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." And finally, a third passage that we layer on top of it, and that is from Psalm 23, the first three verses there. And there it reads, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." This is the word of the Lord. During our season of Lent, when we were going through that season together in St. Thomas, I was going through a series of messages, of reflections that were dealing with Psalm 23, and I'm bringing you one of those today. Psalm 23 is one of those beautiful songs that just simply offers comfort in so many areas of life. It offers hope through a multitude of trials that we go through. And it does that not only for us as believers, but I believe that it does even for those people that rarely darken a church's door. Many of them are familiar with this particular psalm, and they find a calmness. They find a peacefulness that is found in the imagery of this psalm. It has this beautiful picture of our great shepherd, Jesus, leading us and guiding us, journeying us towards the cross of Calvary, and trusting that as we move towards that cross, that we would encounter, that we would engage his saving grace. that our Lord and our Savior, the shepherd, would bring us through death, would bring us through resurrection. And that was a picture that's so much more poignant, made even more poignant, I believe, than it is to where we often focus. Whenever we're drawn to that time in which we remember the sacrifice that Jesus makes for us. Because generally we focus on his agony and on his suffering and on the horror of that death. We're humbled when we look at our weakness, when we look at the sinfulness, our sinful state. And today we're looking at that through the eyes of our good shepherd as he leads us to that place. And both pictures of that are always equally valid for us as Christians. You and I know that. While death and the satisfaction of God's wrath towards sin is something that's very real in our lives, there's also this strong desire that God has for each and every one of us to redeem us, to save us, to enfold all of humanity as his marvelous creation. And that picture for me is even more powerful. The Psalm 23, opens up with that vision of God's love and how it surrounds us with his mighty arms. As it says, he gently leads us to this place of rest, this place of peace, takes us to those quiet waters, those refreshing streams. He's taking us to that place where every need that you and I have is met in Christ Jesus, our Lord, the great shepherd. Now today I'm going to focus on just really a few lines of that wonderful psalm as our text and invite us to contemplate even more how he leads us and what he's actually doing for us and what impact that leading has for us. Earlier this week, I had the privilege of being away from my congregation. I was 3 days up in Muskoka at a retreat with about 60 pastors from Ontario. And we had several days in which we were able to get together and discern the soul. And we asked ourselves, what does the soul look like? What shape does it have? How important is it? What does it mean that we have a soul? And all of that was a good exercise and a very challenging one. Because to be quite honest with you, our soul is something that we don't really contemplate a lot. This topic was a real blessing for me as we were going through this week. I didn't expect that topic to be there because it was after I had already sent this topic to you for meditation today. So I've really been blessed this week as God has been stirring my soul and preparing me to bring his grace to you today. And I trust that that will come through. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do the same. I'm not going to ask you to ponder what is the soul or where it is and what it looks like. I'm going to assume that you all agree that we have a soul. And then recognize that whatever that soul is, it's something that's extremely important. Because in Psalm 23, the Good Shepherd is focusing on that soul, restoring my soul. That's what it reads. He restores my soul, leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I'm walking through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me, walking with me in the darkest hours of my life, and he's there to restore my soul. What a powerful testimony that is. Because those are such words of surrender and such words of deep confidence, satisfying the greatest longings, the greatest needs of humankind, that no matter what happens in your life, no matter what is going on within our earthly bodies, we're assured of this, that He will restore our souls. And the most encouraging word in that simple little phrase, the most humbling word for me in the midst of that is that promise that He restores. He restores my soul. It's not up to me to be made well with my soul. It is the Good Shepherd who cares for me, who provides for me, who cares for my soul. And I wonder sometimes if we really grasp that concept. Do we really grasp in our lives how desperate we are, how desperate our sinful status was that existed before Jesus came into this world, before He sacrificed His own life for us? I mean, we always say those words, but do we really fully recognize this testimony of faith as it claims that He is restoring my soul? Do we recognize what He actually took away from us and then what He's adding to us to make us new? Do we understand where He's taking us to? Because until that time, until the time that Jesus came, we were in a terrible state. But our great shepherd left the 99, left His throne in glory, and He came looking for us. He comes to this earth in search of lost sheep so that He can gather us into His arms, a people that are broken, a people that are alone, without hope. And where He brings restoration, brings to us wholeness, brings us into community with each other, brings us into living relationship with our Heavenly Father, restored not to our former glory, but even beyond that. Because now He's sharing His kingdom with us. We are heirs of the kingdom, co-heirs with each other. And to be quite honest with you, that goes way beyond our needs, way beyond what you and I ever hoped for. At the retreat that I was at this weekend, we had the privilege of drawing pictures. Our teacher took us back to kindergarten, gave us a box of crayons, and told us to picture our souls, imagine what it might look like, and then had us try to draw that. I'm about to show you a couple of pictures, too. I'm not going to give you paper and make you draw like kindergarten kids. And what I'm showing you is not the image of a soul, either. But I trust that it's something that will help you to understand today what Jesus, in fact, is doing for us and what this word restoration might look like. I want to just put it into simpler terms so that we might have that idea. It's kind of like teaching in parable, and Jesus teaches in parables too. Simple illustrations, deeper insight. And I love pictures. And so I brought for you this first picture this morning. This is a picture of a 1932 Ford coupe. It's a barn find. I don't know if you like those shows, American Pickers and Canadian Pickers. I like that show. They're really those modern-day treasure hunters searching for rusty gold in the barns and attics of America is what they say. And then sometimes they come across gems like this one. And it just gets them all excited. This old car has been sitting idle in a haymow for decades. And it's just waiting for someone to come along and to take it out into the sunlight. And someone that might just bring it back to life. And then I brought this next picture. It's also a 1932 coupe. But you can see this one needs a whole lot more help than the other one did. In fact, some people would take a look at this one and say, this one's way beyond help. They might think it's beyond hope. But the truth is, 1932 coupes are considered to be really desirable. And so for treasure hunters, even this is an item that is very prime, and they still get excited about something like this. And they dream about what this item could be like again. And now I brought to you a third picture. And as we look at this third picture, they will go to great lengths. They will spend a lot of money to restore this find, to bring this back to its former glory, to bring it back to the way that it was, so that other generations, that other people can just look at this beautiful creation and admire it, appreciating it. This, brothers and sisters, is the picture of restoration. But this is where I think that the great shepherd has even more vision of what restoration is, because he doesn't just want to take us back to where we are. He wants to take us one step forward. And so I brought another picture with you. This also is a 1932 coupe, and this baby's got a 700 horsepower engine in it. It's got air conditioning, it's got power steering, power brakes, and it's got a paint job that just screams, "Ah!" Don't you love a car like that? This old coupe just screams excitement. And I share that with you. I'm not even a car guy. Okay? I'm not a person who is a grease monkey. I don't like fixing cars, but I would love to have this one in my garage. I can see the value of this. The value of a car like this is just over the top. And that's what Jesus is doing with you and doing with me. He's taking something that was dead in sin, lost in darkness, beyond all hope, and he came looking for us. And when he found us, he sold everything that he had. He gave his life for us on the cross. He buys the field, invests everything in this precious find so that he can restore us. He wants to set us on a new pathway, no longer that pathway of rust and decay, no longer on the road to death, but on a pathway of righteousness, on a road to life. And he does that so that you and I can be examples for future generations to look at, to learn from, to enjoy, to take pride in, and to glorify him, even for his name's sake. This is what our Savior does for us. He takes us along multiple paths. If you look at Psalm 23, that word is plural. Paths of righteousness. Multiple options are being added to us. The first one that he's adding is his spirit of love. That wasn't something that was in the original model. The original model was self-seeking, self-driven. But the great shepherd led us in the way of obedience, the way of servanthood, the way of sacrifice. He installs a heart of grace, a heart of compassion, one that is driven by mercy. And these attributes please the Father in heaven, and they're what make us worthy of being kingdom heirs. He cleans out the heart, inside and out, shines it up so that within us we gleam with the glory that only He can give us. And I think sometimes that we forget how important that step was. You know, we could have been saved. We could have been saved if He had just simply come and taken us out of that dark space, but left us just the way we are. We could still be in that state of rust and decay. We could have been just saved. And to be quite honest with you, we would have been blessed. But He wanted more. With His regenerating, renewing, with His gift of mercy, He wanted to give us a new hope of life, a life that would be eternal in glory with Him, in the presence of our Maker, not just simply saved, but glorified and strengthened in Him. And as believers, we know what that's like. At least I trust you do. Because there are times in life when we face challenges. And whenever we go through those times, for those who are believers, I think we recognize that we have a unique strength, a unique courage. There's something within us that helps us to face those challenges so that we can do that without fear. We have this assurance that even though we're going through these transformations, everything will be okay. And that's because we're being redeemed. We're being rescued. Now, in His word today, He's adding, I trust, another layer. We have this hope that overcomes any helplessness that we might feel because we have Christ in our life. He's given us eternal life when we hear the voice of our shepherd equipping us and restoring our soul. And I hope you can feel Him even doing that now, in His presence right now, restoring us in unique ways. Some of the other things that our great shepherd does and how He helps in that transformation, He helps us to resolve conflicts, removes old conflicts from us, and no longer leaves place for those to be attached. He offers us ways of becoming gracious in our giving, and He places restraints in our lives. Some of those restraints will take us out of our comfort zones and put us into places where we need to learn to trust, learn to obey. But I think that's where Psalm 23 goes when it says that even though I'm walking through this valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because You are with me. You see, that too is an option that was never there before. It wasn't built into the original design. That's a shiny new feature that only followers of the Good Shepherd possess. That's an option that sets us apart from other people, from unbelievers. That's what's taking part. It's what separates us from what we read about in Psalm 5, in which we were calling out in despair to God, "Give ear to my sighing, listen to my cry, hear my voice, I'm laying my request before You." And it's taking us from that space where we like to make deals with God. I'll come to Your house of reverence and I'll bow down and I'll surrender. And even we'll ask, lead me in Your straight ways. But it begins to take us from there to a place that's much more like, take me to those green pastures of peace that I don't understand. Take me to those quiet waters, those cool, refreshing waters, that even though I'm hurting, it's okay. And even though the world is a mess around me, I'm at rest. And as we make that transition, we can hear the shepherd's voice of restoration as it begins to take us over the top. As Isaiah 43 expresses, it says, when you pass through the water, I'll be there. When the rivers, they will not sweep over you. The fire won't burn you. Flames can't consume you because I'm there. I'm part of you. I'm one with you. I've put my life in you. Now, you and I recognize that each one of us at some stage in life is going to face death. We're either going to face that as our own death, but also the death of someone that we might dearly love. And every one of us needs to face that cross of Jesus. We can't avoid that as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But what Isaiah 43 is reminding us of is that this valley that we're going through, it's not a mistake. It's not a wrong turn. It's not a punishment. It's not something that you need to fear. It's a time of training. It's a time of opportunity. It's a time where you get to be with God in very close proximity, and together you're going to discover His genuine love, testing the gifts of grace, learning His power. As He says, I will be with you. I called you by name. You are mine. And so our time in the valley, even the valley of the shadow of death, that's a unique opportunity to discover the reality that God is with us and that His love for us is unsurpassed. And so, my dear friends, know that this is God's love and God's dream for all of creation. That it all be redeemed, that it all be renewed, that it all be restored. And if you don't have that confidence today in your life, then I hope you're hearing Him calling out to you, reaching out to you, searching for you. That you hear His voice say, I am the great shepherd. The great shepherd of the sheep. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And not one of all that the Father has given to me will I lose or will ever be turned away. So come to me and I will give you rest. Jesus, our good shepherd, is searching for us, urging us to come out of that darkness and surrender our lives into His hands so that He can restore us, make us better than new. Will you respond to God today? And may God add His blessing to His word. Amen. And with that, I'd invite you to join me in a song. Join me as together we sing, I heard the voice of Jesus say.
thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in Him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, your morn shall rise, and all your day be bright. I looked to Jesus and I found in Him my star, my sun. And in that light of light I walk till traveling days are done.
Is that it?
Yes.
Before we have our congregational prayer, we are going to take a time to affirm the names of those who have been nominated for the elder and deacon. The elders will distribute the slips of paper with the names of the nominees on it. Please approve those members whom you see meet the biblical requirements of office bearers. Once the papers are distributed and marked, the elders will come back around again to collect them. Okay, thank you. Before we come to God in prayer, I do have two announcements. First of all, there is a prayer quilt at the back of the church, which we plan to give to Minnie Terlewin this week. Please take a moment to tie a knot on the quilt and say a prayer for Minnie as you do that. Secondly, a house key was found in the parking lot, so if you discover that you have lost a house key, Becky Hammond has it. Are there any other announcements or prayer requests before we come to God in prayer? Okay, God hears us when we speak to him, therefore let us come to God in prayer. God, our Father, we thank you for the assurance of your love for us and the confidence we can have from you to talk to you in prayer. We praise you for Jesus Christ, our mediator and advocate, through whom we can call on you for all of our needs. Just as a shepherd cares for the flock, so you care for each one of us. Move in our hearts and guide our actions to help us care for others and serve you with our actions. You made the earth in which we live and grow. Thank you for the sustenance we receive from creation and the earth's gifts to us. Help us to be good caretakers of this earth, Lord. Bless us with wisdom and the humbleness needed to be good stewards. Oh God, thank you that you provide a green pasture for us to be led into and find rest. We pray for all of us who are tired out with work or with worry. Lead us from our anxieties that you may be the rest that we need. Oh God, help us to reflect on you as you lead us beside the still waters. May you open our minds to see the truth that we may speak your strong and transforming words of truth when this world distorts your word and twists your gospel wisdom. God, we ask that you speak to all powerful leaders of nations on this earth. May they heed your message of justice and reconciliation. May they make sincere efforts toward peaceful relations. We especially think of the tensions in Sri Lanka and pray for the end to this violence. May you empower the Christians there to experience peace. And may people of all religions there also be protected from the violence. Thank you for missionaries who work to spread your good news in different parts of the world. Please bless and give strength to the Sardars and help us to be a good encouragement to them. May their visit here be a great time of renewal, connections, and support. Lord God, help our congregation in our time of seeking a pastor. May we be blessed with peaceful and encouraging fellowship with each other. Help us to remain focused on the work of your kingdom and keep us faithful in meeting together. Bless the calling committee. Help us to be an encouragement to them as they continue with the work we have commissioned them to do. We also thank you for the renovation work that has begun in our church and are thankful for the safety still experienced by the workers. Please bless the work that will continue into the spring and summer months. Keep all the workers safe. May all the plans continue smoothly. God bless all the people who come together to organize the operations of this church. We especially pray this morning for those who have been nominated as office bearers here in Ingersoll. May you further prepare them for this office as instituted by Christ. Bless to our worship committee and the musicians. Thank you for the gifts they share and the blessing they are to this church. O God, you are also the giver of life and health to us. You are the one who restores our soul. Wherever we see people who are impoverished or suffering chaos, may you restore them. May you walk with us through our dark times and make us well. Lord, we pray for the members of this congregation that are in special need. We bring before you Gilvin Slignenhorst and Minnie Terlewin, who cannot come to worship services. You know their unique needs, Lord, and we ask for your healing and that they may feel your presence each day. God, also for those who experience anxiety or depression or any other struggle that they may not share, or a struggle that is not easily seen by others. May they know your love for them, and may they feel your worth as your son or daughter. Lord, as we go out from here today, send us with a vision of our part in your kingdom life. May our cup overflow with the joy we have in you. May we give testimony to your redeeming work in our lives, and guide us that we might work effectively in that task. Give us the grace to serve and love you most of all. Lord, in your mercy, hear these our prayers. Amen. Today our offering is for World Renew Maternal and Child Health.
Shall we pray? Lord, we humbly offer you these gifts. We ask that they be a blessing to our church. We also ask that they be a blessing to World Renew and the work to do helping mothers and their children. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to invite you now to stand together, and together we will recite together the Apostles' Creed, that confession of belief, that gift that he has given to us, that we share not only with one another here, but that we share with believers all around the world. We share our faith together in these words: I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May I also invite you just to open up your hands and to receive from God his parting blessing. To him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you before his glorious presence without fault, fully restored, and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Christ Jesus our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.